Hey there! Sit down, make yourself comfortable, and grab a cup of tea. Welcome to the 137th episode of Thea's Tea. Thanks for tuning in! For this week's episode, I am drinking some fancy tea. It's basically from some friends of the family that opened their little cafe shop. It's called Les Rendez-vous chez Loza, if you're in the Sanguinet area. And yeah, it's this very cute little coffee place, and they sell tea. So of course, knowing the podcast, my dad gave me some tea. It was actually the first purchase of the store ever. So there you have it. It is Tropical Red Bush, and it's a new flavor. I've never tried this before. I think it's really good. And it's my first time, probably not, but that I have memory, preparing loose leaf tea. So it was quite fancy. I feel much more legitimate talking about tea now that I have it like this and not just like in the normal little bags. So yeah, of course I added a bit of sugar because I always have my tea with sugar. And the mug I'm drinking it in is actually so cute. It's from The Little Prince, and it has a famous quote about how, like, what is truly essential is invisible to the eyes. And yeah, my grandma sent it to me because my grandma's from Lyon, which is the region where the author was born. So yeah, they're very proud about Le Petit Prince over there. And yeah, it just feels like a very novel combination of tea and a mug, never before mentioned in the tea talk section. I thought it would be longer before I would start bringing out the hot tea, but my apartment is already starting to get pretty chilly. This morning it was like 10 degrees, so it seems that fall is breathing on... No, in Spanish we say respirándonos por el cuello, like literally breathing over our neck. I don't know if that's a saying in English, but yeah, fall is approaching, basically. It's Gilmore Girls season, as if I didn't watch the show year-round. What has been going on in my life recently? Well, I think I mentioned last week, or maybe I didn't. I don't think I did. But last week I went to Darwin, which is my favorite place in Bordeaux. It's basically this like sustainable ecosystem slash cafeteria slash co-working. They make their own beer. They make their own chocolate. You know, they sell like sustainable clothing. It's a really cool place. And on Wednesday nights, they do like electronic concerts. And last week I went and they had a flash tattoo stand. So I got a tattoo with my friend Yemen. It was such a flex. It was like so random, spur of the moment. And yeah, I'm really glad to have like done that experience. It was super cool because like there was like a glass window and you could see like the whole concert and ambiance outdoors. Meanwhile, you were getting like tattooed. So it was pretty cool. I think it's like a huge flex. And I definitely wanted to get like a tattoo commemorating my time as a student here in Bordeaux, but I visualized it at the end of the year. But hey, you know, that moment seemed fitting. You know, the fact that it was my favorite place in the city with one of my closest friends, it just felt very right. I got this like coral design basically on top of my elbow, like on the back of my arm in red. And I think it looks super cool. It's quite an intricate design, I guess you could say. So yeah, I'm very happy about that and like taking care of it. It's the biggest tattoo I have. So it's like, wow. But yeah, I'm very, very pleased with it. Also, like on Thursday, the university held like an event that they do annually. It's called Compulsation, like campus and pulsations, basically, which is a like student music festival. And, you know, they bring like pretty well-known people. I mean, I can't speak to that because I'm not very in with the French music, but like pretty well-known rappers. And yeah, you know, it's free for students. It's this really cool ambiance. You know, it's like a proper concert festival, you know? So yeah, we went to that and it was pretty awesome. And I'm just so grateful to like be part of a university that makes events like this, you know, that goes out of its way to throw social events for the students, like held, you know, on the campus. So it's like the campus isn't just like an academic space. It's also like a lifestyle, you know, a place to have fun, to meet people. And I'm just like so happy that I have that. And I'm so happy that I took the decision to like go to an institution that offers these types of spaces. In the weekend, something really fun happened, and it's that my friend Sophie came to visit. She's also in France, in Nantes, as an au pair. And so she came to visit me for the weekend. I love it when people come visit me. It's such a fun way to like totally shake up your life, you know, live a completely different routine, explore the city and view the city and view the place you live in under a completely different lens, which I really crave and is kind of related to the topic we'll be discussing today. And also the company is so valuable, you know, it was so nice to like have somebody to turn to and to talk to for these few days. And like, if you're like going down the street and you notice something, to be able to like tell them about it. And yeah, you know, just have somebody to talk to, bounce ideas off of. We had some really interesting conversations, and you know, it like stimulates your mind in a way that probably doesn't happen when you're all by yourself, you know, alone with your thoughts. So it was very fun. And now that I've been living here for a while, I felt like I had the credentials to show the city, you know, see the sights and kind of like build a trajectory in my head and like guide a tour from my not at all historical knowledge. So yeah, that was just a very fun thing that made up my weekend. And I've had a pretty chill start to my week, I guess. It's already Wednesday. Things are moving by very fast. I feel like the weeks are going by so quickly in comparison to last year. And also, you know, people are already starting to talk about midterms. So it feels like that's approaching quickly. I don't know. I feel like it's going very, very fast. That's probably because I'm having a good time and enjoying everything. But yeah, it's kind of scary to imagine that, you know, pretty soon, like, I don't know, it'll be Christmas, you know, like things are moving fast. Also, you may notice that my voice is a little bit scratchy. I had a bit of a sick patch last week. I didn't know if I was going to be able to record this episode because one night I genuinely did feel like my voice, like I was going to lose my voice. So yeah, a lot of tea cured that and like hot beverages. But yeah, I hope this isn't too annoying to listen to. Whenever I get like sick voice, I always think of that episode in Friends where Phoebe gets sick and she likes the way her voice sounds when she sings. So when all of the other friends get sick, she like drinks their soup and, you know, tries to maintain the cold as long as possible. Because I'm not gonna lie, I also quite like it when my voice is kind of scratchy, but I do try to prioritize my health and to get well as soon as possible. So yeah, that's the recap of the week. What is this episode all about? So I must open by saying that I hate it when people kind of like brush things off and act as if everything in their life were super casual. Like, oh yeah, I did this. Yeah, you know, this happened. I love being in awe of the simple things. And I genuinely think that life is better when you're able to be surprised by anything, when things are a big deal for you, when the smallest little improvement in your day can feel like this huge milestone, when, you know, you do have like that vision of the world. I feel like that is much better than trying to play everything down, you know, downsize everything, you know. And I feel like it's almost pretentious, you know, when some people are like well aware that they've done these incredible things and they kind of try to like brush it off as something super casual, as if we're normal for them, this everyday experience, like, oh yeah, I'm just so used to this. I find that so annoying. Like, you're making yourself miserable and you're making other people around you feel bad about themselves. So this philosophy of making everything a big deal, I really align with. And I don't think that's the best name, because I'm not like, you know, saying like, oh, you need to blow everything out of proportion, make drama with your friends. No, that's not what I mean. But just like being able to truly appreciate the little things in life and to be able to be, you know, like gladdened by that. I know that's not a word, but you know what I mean. I guess what I'm trying to say is I would never want my day-to-day life to feel, you know, normal and ordinary and like routine. I know I talk a lot about routines, but I never intend it to be like something, you know, monotonous or boring. In the two episodes I've done about routine that are called Routines and Returning to the Routine, which will be linked in the show notes along with everything else I mentioned in this episode, I always talk about how routines aren't meant to like be a drag. You know, they're meant to give you a certain structure, but they're not meant to be something that you dread or something that feels boring. You know, the goal is to be so in love with life that even in doing some things exactly the same every day, you can still feel excited for it and appreciate it. Like literally the other day, I was arriving home a Monday at 10 p.m. and I was like, this is the life, you know, just look at where life took me on this random Monday. Like going with the flow, saying yes to things, seeing where the day takes you, and just like allowing yourself to be surprised and to enjoy different things, you know? It's not like, oh yeah, coming home on a Monday at 10 p.m., no biggie. I was like, wow, like this is so cool. Like, I can't believe I'm living this life, you know? Just like really having that perspective, I feel like it benefits me because it makes me happier every day. And I don't know, that really got me thinking. Like, I truly feel like I've developed a good rhythm in my life. You know, that like every day is different or it feels exciting. I mean, I think in a college student life, days are kind of similar. Like Mondays are similar, Tuesdays are similar, Wednesdays are similar because of your schedule. But even if they are similar, I wake up every day feeling excited. And that's really what I want this episode to be about. You know, like feeling excited about living your days, you know, not feeling like every day is the same, like everything's casual, like, oh yeah, you know, like actually being super intentional with the way your days are. And this reminds me of like what I used to consider, because it's in competition with what I'm living right now, what I used to consider like the best period of my life was when I was in Medellin and I did a semester of university there. I remember I would wake up so excited every single day. Even if it was just a normal day at uni with like regular classes, I was like, I'm so excited to see what's in store for today, you know, see what comes up in my path, you know, what spontaneous activities I'll end up doing, you know. And that's kind of like what I feel like I have right now. You know, being excited to live every day and taking like strength in the fact that I don't want this to be considered casual, you know? Like, this is a big deal, you know? These decisions are important to me. I am gonna put in thought and intention to what I'm gonna do today, you know? I don't wanna, you know, brush it off. So yeah, that ideology is what inspired today's episode. I'm gonna be talking first about like childlike novelty and how I perceive that, then appreciating the ordinary in your day-to-day life, and the contrast with the art of spicing things up. So those last two really are complementary to each other. When I was little, I remember one day I was going to a water park with some friends, and I was very excited, and I was telling them, you know, like, oh my gosh, I'm so excited, I can't wait. And I remember their response was kind of like trying to water it down. Oh, because it was a water park. No, but like they were trying to like make it more casual. They're like, oh yeah, you know, it's not that big a deal. I don't remember exactly how it went, but they definitely did not match my energy. And I instantly felt like ashamed. I was like, yeah, like you're so lame for putting this much importance on this thing. You know, it's like no big deal. So that definitely scarred me. And I remember that it took me a while to get back up and have that like view of life again. Except that this is very normal in children, you know, this capacity to be in awe and to be surprised. And there was a moment in my childhood where I lost it. And then later on, I was able to find it again, which I feel like is the part that usually doesn't happen in people. When I was like 12 or something, you know, but you can still find it again when you're an adult. I don't intend to like say that there's a certain limit, you know, I just feel like children are born with this, and then eventually when you grow up it gets lost somewhere, and like with the pressure of fitting in and, you know, wanting to impress other people, it's very understandable why we would push that down. But I just feel like there's so much value in it, and I feel like it's worth doing the work, as I'll elaborate more later on, to be able to find it again. And I remember one time my mom was in a parent-teacher meeting, and the teacher said like, Thea has this incredible capacity to, you know, be surprised by anything and everything. And at that moment I was like, you did it, like you did good, kid, you're able to find that. And you know, just the fact that like teachers were able to notice that, it just was a moment where I realized that my values and what others perceived of me were aligned. And you know, it served as a little tangible piece of evidence that I was able to reconstruct that in myself. And that just really gets me thinking, like the role this type of character personality plays in a friend group. I imagine maybe this could be like exhausting or annoying, or like, shut up, not everything is like so cool. But I genuinely am more inclined to think that this is an asset to have in your inner circle. You know, that sort of optimism and joy can rub off on you. And the other day I was talking with my friend and she was like, yeah, you're a bon vivant, which is like good liver, I guess. No, not liver, like the part of the body, but like a person who lives well. And I'm very fascinated by that French term, but I was just so honored that she would call me that. You know, like for me, a bon vivant is a person who can appreciate the little things in life, as we're talking about today, and just like has that outlook on life and as like a very optimistic perspective. I don't know if I would consider myself an optimist, but yeah, I just feel like once again, that was another situation in which I was like, yes, like I love that people perceive me this way. And going back to what I was saying, I really think this is a valuable perspective to have in your friend groups, even if you're having a terrible day, even if you're fed up with everything. If there's somebody there who, in their living example, is able to remind you that there are still things worth like rescuing and, you know, caring about, I just think that that's really important. Some examples of reactions in which you can put in place this childlike novelty are, you know, with fun facts. You know, if somebody tells you a fun fact, like being genuinely interested and surprised by it and like understanding the scope of it, you know, like taking it seriously, not just being like, oh wow, that's cool. Or like, who asked? Oh my gosh, I hate the who asked attitude. There is no more effective way to shoot people down than saying this, especially when they're like talking about something they're excited about or something they care about. You know, like, I know sometimes people play it off, but like casually, but I know that when I heard this at a specific point in my life, it really bruised like my self-esteem. So yeah, you know, truly being able to be surprised when people share fun facts with you, little surprises. For instance, if you notice that a class gets canceled, like I celebrate that so much. Like I hype that up so much. Also the experience of like going out with friends, you know, whether it be to party or like to a restaurant or just like a casual like meetup, I hype those things up so much. Like they genuinely make me so excited and I really like get in the mood and get in the vibe for the conversations we're gonna have or the photos we're gonna take or the experience we're gonna live. I also feel like you can get very invested and have this childlike novelty when trying new food or trying a new experience. I remember when I went ice skating last year, it had been ages since I went ice skating and it felt like such a novel experience. You know, I was so like present in the moment, excited to be trying this new, if you can say that, thing. You know, and there are people that are like, huh, this is normal. But for me, I was like, wow, I'm ice skating, you know, with you guys. This is so fun. Like, I really, in Spanish, it's like, me metí en el papel. Like, I took it seriously, you know, I took the assignment seriously. I feel like those different things that I mentioned alone, but also the reaction and the attitude I had towards them truly do refresh the soul, you know? It's just like such an enriching way to live. And I don't know, it's what I said, it makes your life not boring on a day-to-day basis. And it's something that's like constantly renewing itself. I truly think this is the way to go. There is something to be said about appreciating the ordinary. Because listen, I'm talking a lot about loving life, enjoying the day-to-day. And that's not because I'm doing crazy things every day, but because every day feels like a big deal. This takes me back to a conversation I was having with my friend Yemen about people who think they've cracked the code and who think that 9-to-5 jobs or like corporate jobs are terrible and that the people who follow this path in life have no like criteria or self-evaluation because they didn't dare to do things differently. And it's like, okay, but is a 9-to-5 job really so bad? Is a job with stable work hours, you know, employee benefits, clear rest time so bad? You know, like there are people who are in 9-to-5 jobs that truly enjoy what they're doing and that are able to have like an entire life on the side and pursue like their hobbies and their other interests or spend time with their family, you know, thanks to the fact that they have a clearly delimited workspace. You know, like these jobs are necessary to make like not the world keep turning, but like our life and our society keep turning, you know, like somebody's got to do it. So if these people are like taking joy out of their lifestyle, then why is it so bad? I hate it when people like, you know, say like they've cracked the matrix. Is that no, like they've seen the matrix, they've exited it. I don't know. But yeah, I just hate the way they paint, you know, the people who pursue these careers as stupid or like, oh, they don't know better. You know, I genuinely don't think that's the case. Like, I think that in that ordinary day-to-day life, there can still be so much joy and beauty found and like more power to them for being able to appreciate that. So yeah, I don't do these crazy things every day. I'm not jumping off cliffs all the time, but every day feels like a big deal. Every day feels like worth living, you know, like there are things to do, you know, important things going on. Like it's valuable, like it's important. And really the fact that I feel like that about my own life is all that matters. I feel like this really comes from being intentional on how you build your days. You know, like a balance of work life and like personal life and fun things. And, you know, like scattering in different things that can make your days feel like more unique amongst each other. I don't know, I just feel like it does really come into being intentional with how you build your days so that you can look forward to them when you wake up. One way to do this is, for example, scattering in little things to look forward to. You know, a meeting. Like, I'm not gonna lie, there are meetings at university or in my other projects that I genuinely look forward to. I'm like, oh my gosh, this meeting is gonna be so informative, or I can't wait to hear what this superior has to say to me, you know? I genuinely like look forward to these meetings, which I think is a green light in terms of what you're doing with your life. But another example is, you know, a food that you're gonna be looking forward to. I have burgers for dinner more times than I'm willing to admit, but when I do, it's just something that I look forward to, you know, this craving that I have the whole day, and it's like, oh my gosh, I can't wait to get home, you know, make myself my nice dinner and, you know, like enjoy that meal. Or, you know, my favorite snack, which is lemon flavored chips, which I brought like 40 packets from Colombia, you know, after a long day or like in the middle of the day, just savoring one of those packets is something that I look forward to. So I take great enjoyment in, you know, this like culinary experience. Not at all a culinary experience. Or a show. I love it when you're watching a show. Like, I only watch shows when I'm eating. So if I'm watching a really good show, that's, I'll notice it because between meals, I'm like thinking about it. I'm like, oh my gosh, I wonder what's gonna happen next. Or I just can't wait to be submerged in the vibe of this show once again. You know, so that's something that I look forward to as well. And also, as I mentioned before, a social activity, you know, that I look forward to and that like motivates me to get through, you know, the day. And the key, I think, is sprinkling in these activities not only on the weekends. I'm a full believer of like making your week life fun. You know, weekends aren't the only days we should be like living for. Thursdays here are like the student nightlives, so I'll go often, you know, partying Thursdays. But, you know, like going out for a random dinner with your friends like on a weekday, or going to grab a drink. I love going to grab a drink. You know, like random things like that during the week, I feel like are so cool. I literally have a poster in my room that says, "Hagamos que descansar entre semana sea un movimiento." And it's from Chef Burger, one of my favorite restaurants in Medellin. And it aligns with this whole philosophy of like being able to rest during the week and doing different things during the week. I feel like people hate so much on like maybe corporate life because they feel like in the weeks you work and that's it. But it's really up to you to like sprinkle in different kinds of activities during the week. Like, I'm just so angry that we got used to that not being the norm, you know, like being used to only having fun on the weekends, when in reality that doesn't have to be the case. I just feel like if you employ these things in your day-to-day life, it will return such a love and joy for living that you'll be able to see everything kind of like with rose-colored sunglasses. You know, everything will seem slightly better, and even like the simple little things in life, like getting a class canceled, will feel like more exciting to you. I really feel like there is a lot to appreciate in the ordinary. For example, when I see my friends in the morning and ask them what they did the day before, I'm genuinely excited and curious to hear about it. You know, I'm excited to learn and hear about how they live their lives, you know. What do you do when we're outside of class? You know, what do you do when you have the afternoon to yourself? What do you do when we're not going out together, you know? Even if it's just staying at home studying, to me, that's an event. To me, everything is an event in the best way possible. And, you know, now that I'm in second year at university, it really does feel like, you know, we walk around and kind of feel like we own the place. In France, degrees are 3 years long, so, you know, we feel quite grown up. And so just like walking around feeling like we own the place, and just like taking joy in recognizing people like, oh my gosh, you know, you were like that one kid from that one class we had last semester. Like, oh my gosh, there's that one teacher. Like, just letting yourself be in awe with these things, I feel like makes your life so much more enjoyable. I'm saying all of this not for other people, you know, like not for your perception of others, but truly because I feel like it's liberating for yourself to start living your life this way. Back to the example I was saying about when I ask my friends what they did in a day, for me, it's so exciting to like compare like, oh, you did this, I did this. Like, wow, life is so interesting for that. Life is so rich for all this variety that we have, all these different things we can do. Like, it excites me so much. So yeah, I just never want that thirst to do things, to experience things, to be marveled to end for me. I feel like this lifestyle relies on the balance between appreciating the ordinary and really making the best out of any situation, but also being able to spice things up. You know, sometimes situations are just too boring to be able to admire, and that's okay. But when that's the case, you know, it's important to learn to spice things up, you know? Like, okay, if your life is seemingly boring in every aspect, then it's up to you to find different things you can do to make it seem more novel and to make you be able to appreciate them and be surprised by it. Because you can be surprised by things you do for yourself, you know? When I was with my friend Sophie, you know, she said, don't ever forget you live in a beautiful city. And we talked a lot about just living in your city as if you're a tourist, you know, living as a tourist in your own town. I feel like that aligns so much with this philosophy. Like, I love having this perspective. I love walking around and being like, oh, I want to try this restaurant. I want to go to this bar, and just taking pictures of the streets through which I've passed a million times. I never want that to wear off. It truly feels like I'm wearing these rose-colored glasses. And I feel like that's the way it should be, you know? That's the perspective you should have on these places. Of course, it is kind of easier for me to say because, you know, I'm living in here. I'm living in the city for college. You know, I've been here 1 year. I have 1 year left. You know, it's very easy to, like, romanticize things. It's maybe not so easy if you've been living in the same place your whole life, which I understand. But I feel like there is something to be said for the effort of, like, trying to spice things up for yourself. And I talked a lot about this in my episode about romanticizing your life. Things like going on walks or watching a movie or celebrating small milestones, you know, these little things can sprinkle joy into your way, into your day, like exploring, you know, new paths or new corners or neighborhoods of your city, you know, going to the cinema to watch a movie that you've been looking forward to, or even just like finding something on Netflix and making a little movie night for yourself with snacks and like dimming the lights, you know, just like creating an ambiance, or, you know, celebrating small milestones, any little acceptance, any piece of good news, like treat yourself, you know, like get an ice cream cone or something. Like, it's so valuable to do these types of things. I'm so sad that we kind of like fell into the routine of ignoring these things and having to minimize them. Like, oh yeah, you know, I got this accomplishment, but it's no big deal. Like, yes, it is a big deal. Like, celebrate it for yourself. If you don't celebrate it for yourself, who will? You know, like getting a slightly overpriced coffee, you know, living the ambiance, buying a new different snack at the supermarket. I'm sorry, I was kind of hungry when I was planning this episode, but little things like this, really with the intention of like spicing up your own life. You know, I feel like these are just such simple things to do, but when I do them, I feel like I get that rush. Don't get me wrong, I also get excited when like big monumental things in my life happen as well, but I just think it's so valuable to be able to be enchanted by these small things that you can very much control. And I guess how this connects to the previous point is that if you feel so in a rut that you can't appreciate the ordinary day-to-day life you have, then you can try simple ways to switch things up and regain or gain the vision of like being excited about things. I feel like some people could argue like, oh, if you get used to being excited for these little activities you throw yourself in your day, then how will you be able to appreciate a normal day if you already got used to like these high standards? For me, it doesn't work like that. For me, it's like a muscle. So when you make these like obvious situations that are easy to appreciate, you start getting into the habit of appreciating things. And then if you take them away, you'll continue to have that skill for normal life. The skill of appreciating things is like a muscle. The more you train it, the more effective it becomes. Oh my goodness, she said that. So yeah, really what I want to say is that if you feel like you're in a rut, make the conscious exercise of finding ways to look forward to your days, and eventually it can be a habit that comes naturally. A big way to do this, as I've said before, is trying to do things on weekdays, you know? Find, you know, ways to make a difficult Monday a little bit more enjoyable. And also, it can be like making plans with yourself. For instance, when I'm walking back from babysitting the girls I babysit, there is this sushi restaurant, and I walked past it the other day, and I was like, I always see this, and I always want to try it. Well, next week, I'm going to come here and buy myself dinner after taking care of these girls. You know, it's like making appointments with yourself, you know, making these fun things happen instead of perpetually postponing them and living in what we call a rut. I really feel that in order to confront that paradox I mentioned earlier, it does kind of take like mechanical efforts. It really is faking it till you make it, you know, pretending that you're making big deals out of things until it eventually comes naturally. I think it really is part of like feeding yourself that narrative, you know, telling yourself like, yes, this is exciting. You know, this is happening. This is a big deal. Even if it feels a bit forced, but I do trust that with time, you can kind of like shape your thoughts. So if you keep at it long enough, hopefully it will work. And you really just have to like make it a big deal for yourself, you know? As I said, if you don't celebrate it for yourself, then who will? So you have to make that conscious effort. So I guess this really is my point and what I want you to take away from this episode and kind of like what I feel I want to highlight and what I've noticed in society. I feel like things for others are so transitory. You know, for me, I feel like I may even exaggerate things, but I prefer it that way. I wouldn't want things to be like so small and so meaningless as they maybe are for other people. I really want to live intensely, you know, appreciate these things that are happening for me. Like if something can make me 5% more happy or like 20% more happy, why wouldn't I choose the 20%? And I think all of this comes from a point in my life where I felt so sad and so desperate that looking forward to these small things would keep me going. And it's as I said, you know, at the beginning, it was something like very forced. And then eventually that like optimistic attitude became a habit and I could continue it as my life got quote unquote better. And I didn't have to like force myself to putting these good things in my days in order to keep going. So it's a real life example of what I was saying before. I've decided that I'm just going to continue taking this attitude through my life, however good or bad things get. This reminds me of what I talked about in an episode called The Next Thing to Look Forward To. Like, there's no shame in finding things to look forward to every day if that's what keeps you motivated. Eventually, that need will wear off. So let's wrap up this episode. Today we talked about never wanting things to be casual. We opened things up with childlike novelty and the perspective that I feel characterizes the ability to be surprised by everything in your life and this attitude that I deeply want to embody every single day. First, we talked about appreciating the ordinary, you know, being able to have this virtue of making every day a big deal and being excited about every day. But then we thought to ourselves, what if that simply isn't possible? Well, then you would need to learn the art of spicing things up and being able to make something to look forward to every day. And the idea is that once you do this often enough, it will inevitably become a habit that you're able to appreciate the little things in life. Some may argue that you're spoiling yourself by only being able to get excited when there's something worth getting excited for. But I would say that's not necessarily the case, because once you exercise the muscle of finding the good in situations, you'll be able to do this for situations that you didn't set up for yourself on purpose, you know, and you'll just be able to find this quality in all the elements of life. So there you have it. This is my perspective on not wanting things to be casual, wanting to live intensely and not being ashamed about it and being vocal about it and spreading that with other people and hopefully getting others to live as fully as I feel like I am. Well, that's about it for this episode. I would like to clarify that I am not a specialist. Everything I share is based off of my experience and what I've learned. Don't forget to follow the podcast Instagram at TheSTPodcast. I'm very active on there. It's a visually aesthetic platform built with interactive spaces for us. Please tag me on your stories and send me pics listening with your tea. Also, please rate, review, follow, and subscribe. Whatever your platform lets you do, it would help me out a lot. Because reviews are the only way I can start growing, getting recommended to new people, and being included in rankings. Plus, I read reviews on here, so if you want to be featured, go on right ahead. Please spread this episode with any friends or family you think will like it. I would love it for you to share your thoughts on this podcast. You can send me a voice message directly through Anchor or through my email, thestpodcast@gmail.com. You can reach out for business inquiries and set up sponsorships through there as well. Make sure to check out the show notes. There's a bunch of fun stuff listed down there, alongside with links to everything I mentioned here today. Remember, you can join me every Thursday for a new episode, including the last one of every month with a guest, and an additional bonus monthly Q&A. Thank you for your time and for joining me in my little corner of the internet. I appreciate you. Thanks for tuning in. Have a beautiful week and a wonderful existence.